The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, June 9th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host during this open line Thursday. But today is a different day. Today I have some guests. I am actually kind of excited to have these good, decent, mature gentlemen with me who are from St. Augustine's College SAC Alumni Association, who is promoting a, let me see the correct name, the Uncle Lou Golf Tournament, which is going to be held at Royal Blue Golf Course at Bahama this Saturday, June 11th, 2022. So I'm kind of excited to get some information about that, and I'm going to get started. Start with you, Mike. I'll introduce you. It's actually have Gino Nairn, former president of SAC Alumni Association, and Mike Rhodes, chairman of the Uncle Lou Charity Golf Tournament. And we can start with you, Mike. Is that
sure.
Okay?
Okay.
So you're having a tournament.
Yeah, we are.
You're giving out gifts. You're giving out
surprises. Right.
So let's talk with that, and then we go to Gino Nairn to talk about the Alumni Association.
Yeah,
okay?
We'll be giving out prizes to the first 15 teams, and we have for the hole-in-one prize, we have a beautiful 2022 BMW valued at $63,000. It's sponsored by the Auto Mall, Shirley Street, and insured by Jack Stanley Insurance Company, which is located upstairs in the Executive Motors Toyota showroom on Shirley Street, on the corner of Buena Retiro Road and Shirley Street.
Good. So the prizes, and this is why I'm going to stick to the prize, because it's a prize that draw my attention. This 2022 BMW, right? And you see, I see you have the value at $63,000. How can someone win that? I want to understand that.
Right. Well, when you're playing golf, you know, you see the fellas hitting the little white ball and they run. The objective is to get it in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the course will allow you. The regulation is 3 shots, 4 shots, or 5 shots.
Mm-hmm.
But to win this prize, you have to hit that ball in the hole on one shot.
So hole in one will get you this prize?
That's right. And that's on a par 3, playing about 160 yards, between 130 to 160 yards.
And I know the golf tournament is basically Saturday, June 11th, right? What time does it start?
Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And is it too late to register?
We're encouraging people to register. We wanted persons to be registered up to the day, but, you know, that's like pipe dreams. You can register up to 45 minutes before the tournament.
So on the 45 minutes before the tournament on June 11th, I can register and play.
Yeah.
And
registration means that you would have paid.
Yes.
You had the right to go.
How much do I pay?
Well, it's a two-man scramble.
So I need a second person for me.
Or you can just check with the golf course, with the tournament coordinator.
And okay.
They might be able to find you a single who you can pair up with.
Okay.
It's the team is $250.
So $250?
No, for one person, $500 per team, sorry.
So $500 for the team and $250 for each person to play in this tournament.
Right.
And you said the tournament starts at 8 o'clock?
It starts at 8 o'clock. We're trying to be prompt with that.
And how is the response? The response is good so far? A lot of people?
We've been in golf, you know, most persons sign up late.
Okay.
The flow has been pretty good, encouraging. Our sponsorship has gone quite well. So we're excited about this tournament. And we're going to ask, especially the SAC, the St. Augustine's alumni. We're asking them, reaching out to them. It's our school, it's our project. Uncle Lou. We say Uncle Lou, anybody who enters in the Gutsons know exactly what we're talking about.
So this is where I bring Gino Nairn in, a former president of the Alumni Association. Why are you having this tournament? What is the importance of it?
Well, the importance of this tournament...
Bring your mic a little closer.
The importance of this tournament basically is to raise funds to complete the sporting facilities at SAC. This is one of the dreams that Uncle Lou had in terms of the sporting facilities, softball fields, track and field, soccer field.
Multi-purpose
building.
I saw some drawings. I mean, if that's what you're trying to do, it's impressive.
You see? And
it's beautiful.
This is what we're trying to do to keep the dream alive.
And so, St. Augustine's College is a powerhouse. Yes. I mean, you all win basically every sport. So the idea of having a soccer field, a multi-purpose concept complex, I'm kind of excited about that.
Yes, it is. And we're hoping that the SAC Pride go through to our alumni, and this is a clarion call out to them to come and make a donation.
Suppose I just want to donate. How do I do that? Go ahead.
I just wanted to point about St. Augustine's. Gino and I went to St. Augustine's. I graduated in 69. He graduated in 68. So we were there from the early to mid 60s.
Okay.
Shawnee Miller, who is our biggest track star right now, she's from St. Augustine's.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
The field that we ran on in the 60s is the same field that is still there. We want to replace that. And, I mean, there's a whole host of other athletes that and high schools.
And when you say replace, exactly what do you plan to do with the field?
We got to modernize the track, right? We are, St. Augustine's is a track and field powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to modernize our facility. We need to put a new track in there, a new track and field facilities in there. Which is a part of this, extended from what we're doing. The softball field is the first phase, and the track and the multi-purpose gymnasium, which will be basketball, volleyball, and all those sports. This is what the school at top to be able to assist our athletes. Those ones that are coming along. This is what they will do. 50 years later, we don't be sitting here and we're still running on the same old grass track that we did in the 60s. Yeah.
So I see you mentioned the softball field was phase one. How far along is the softball field? Because I drive past SAC. I live in Fox Hill, so I have to take that as a shortcut. I hope they don't close the gate. But I see two baseball diamonds, state-of-the-art baseball diamond, I mean softball diamond, I should say, that is being conceptualized.
Yes, we have done quite a bit of work on the fields already. And to complete the fields, we have to fence the field, the whole field, the perimeter, and put up the backdrops for the in the back of the catcher, which is like 20-foot fencing in there, and then get all the
you got the lights,
and everything.
Nice, you're going high end.
Yeah.
So if I want to donate, now I say I cannot play golf, right? I'm not really interested in golf, but I embrace this dream, this field of dreams that you have there would have everything, right?
Yes.
And I want to donate. I want to put one $25. I want to put one $50 in your land to say, hey, go, you all finish that track. This part of the track there, that's Mike's, right? How can I do that?
Well, you can do it through...
Well, it's Mobile Assist. You can make a deposit to the SAC alumni's account at the Sandyport branch of the FCIB, or we call it Canadian Imperial Bank, but it's First Caribbean International Bank now. And there's also a facility, the Mobile Assist.
Yes.
That's an... payments can be made to that...
Good.
That vehicle.
Can I see you just hand me something which says you can make deposits by check at SAC Alumni Association, Bueno Retiro Road, Shirley Street.
That's where the office is.
That's where the office is. And they have a cell phone number which is 397-1744. And their cell phone number is 820-5568. And I see they have the bank account number which is, let me do that slowly, 20-17-05-627, and the transit number is 07046. So you can always make a deposit directly to the CIBC account. And of course, they have the Mobile Assist app where you just look for SAC Alumni Association and you make your deposit there, right? So that's interesting.
On that phone number, people don't need to memorize it. If they say Uncle Lou and they punch that in on their phone, they'll be calling into the...
Really? I actually read you just type in Uncle
Lou, and it goes to... On your telephone, and that's the number.
They said there's only two sets of people in the Bahamas. Those who went to SAC
And those who wish they did. So that I guess you are proven true. I see you all have, what is that, a QR code, and you're scanning and got that information. I mean, going really high tech. I'm very impressed with what the SAC Alumni Association doing. But let's go back on the Uncle Luke Charity Golf Tournament. Again, that's on Saturday, this Saturday coming, correct?
Right, that's right.
And it's starting at 8 o'clock, and it's not too late to register. And the grand prize is a $63,000, okay, my gosh, beautiful 2022 BMW XI. You know, I mean, I could dream about those things, yeah, right? I plan to call my friend Ivan now and ask him if we can get up the $500. We may have to sell one of the children, but I'm eager to win that, you know? So I'm excited about it. So the Alumni Association, I see the WhatsApp and messages. I see the website. I see the social media platforms, and because y'all are everywhere. Everywhere I see SAC Alumni is putting out stuff. Right? How is there a challenge getting, because it seems easy for you all that SAC people want to come together and do things. I mean, how is it that you stay communicated like 62, 67 and 68 still talking to class of 94? How is that possible?
It's part of the ingrained SAC pride that we were taught during Uncle Lou and Father Bonaventure time, and it trickles right down to the present day.
Wow.
In terms of that bond, you know, some people say we are a cult, but I tell them, no, we are just...
SAC ain't no cult. People get mad when you say they see the red. Downstairs, I see people start grumbling. Where these red people come from, you know?
But Nui, the real story is that, you know, I went to SAC. My brothers went to SAC. My daughter went to SAC.
It goes
to the family, right? So it is a family situation.
Yeah.
The you know, the persons who went to, like Mr. Adley, the SAC, he was in the first graduating class.
Yeah.
His daughter is teaching at SAC right now.
Wow.
No, and his son, they all go to SAC, and the grandchildren will go to SAC.
Yep. So when you go to SAC, you vested. And you want alumni to hear your call. Yes. You want them reach out to you and participate inside this event.
Yes.
You want them to appreciate the fact that you're trying to redevelop this the track and field there, the gym, the basketball court. I even heard the talks of tennis court being built there. You know, these are big things that you're trying to do.
Yeah, we have
while he was away in college.
Yes, I remember that.
And a wrestler, top wrestler.
I'm proud of you. His dream, his goal to develop a all-purpose sporting facility, and that you still donate and sponsor the school itself, that the school's future and legacy is important to you all. So that's impressive.
You know, Uncle Lou taught all of us, most of us, and he also coached all of us. He was the director of sports in the 60s when we joined. Uncle Lou put together... He was the one, I guess, with the assistance of Father Frederick and those the monks, Benedictine monks. They put together the sports program that's spearheaded and executed by Uncle Lou.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Lou also taught. You come to St. Augustine's, if you didn't know you had a talent, you had to go and play all those sports, and Uncle Lou will be there monitoring. And if you didn't know you could run or swim he wasn't a big swimmer, but play any of those sports, basketball, volleyball, soccer, softball, running track and field, high jumping. By participating in those sports daily, because every day we had a sports day, as we had lunch, we had classes, that was all a part of the curriculum. And Lou was the coach, he was the head coach, and he's a fellow be standing out watching you. He'd say, Nuri, come to my office. I'm going to put you on the soccer team, or you can be playing basketball. And come out and try it for the basketball team.
Excellent. But just before we go on a break, let me read everything again to make sure everyone understands what's happening. Saturday. This Saturday you're talking about, right?
This Saturday.
June 11th at 11 o'clock. It's going to be at the Bahama Golf Course, right?
The Royal Boob Golf Course at Bahama. That's right.
And you can register up because it's a team of two, and it's $500, $250 for each person.
That's right.
Right? And that you can win. See, I'm going to say the prize again, because every time I look at the prize, I smile, you know. A 2022. I mean, that's this year.
That's the year.
Right? BMW XI. No value at $63,000.
Right.
And, of course, you can always reach the Alumni Association if you want to donate and inquire for more information at 820-5568. That's 820 5568 or the alumni office at 397-1744 just to get more information and give the opportunity to donate and participate or to find out what exactly what else you can do to contribute to this field of dreams, to this multi-purpose complex. You know, I know this is just one event that you all plan to do in order to raise the sums. I heard that initially the price tag was before COVID and before all the expensive, the price tag was tagged at $500,000 just to get things started. And of course, things got more expensive. But that's you are on track to get that money and secure that money by doing these activities and to make sure that this dream of Uncle Lou is fulfilled.
That's right. Definitely.
Okay. And today I'm talking again with Mike Rohl, who's chairman of the Uncle Lou Charity Golf Tournament, and Gino Nairn, who's a former president of the SACA Alumni Association. And I thank them for joining me for these brief moments. And I leave a last word to them. So before I go on the commercial break.
Yes. I just wanted to say Uncle Lou was a mentor. And he built boys into men. In fact, he not just mentored students at SAC, but he mentored students and young men and women throughout the Bahamas. And one person comes to mind, Mother Pratt. Uncle Lou was the inspiration behind Mother Pratt getting involved into basketball.
Wow.
And other sports. And, you know, she was deputy prime minister some years ago. But there are a number of people.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just for SAC people, but all young men and young women throughout the Bahamas, Uncle Lou mentored and encouraged them.
Okay, and you, Mike?
Just add, Mother Pratt was a very, very good basketball player. She was a very good athlete. But my focus is on the golf tournament, as you've been rightly addressing. That's coming up on Saturday, June 11th, this coming Saturday, at the Royal Blue Golf Course at Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking the golfers, you know, we got some very attractive prizes. Of course, we got that brand new BMW, the X1 model, valued at $63,000. Come out there and you hit your best shot.
Mm-hmm.
You could drive away with that car on Saturday.
I might try cash that in. But yeah, I understand. But go ahead.
And we got 15 other prizes. We'll be giving a crystal trophy to the winner.
15 prizes.
Yeah, we've got for the first 15 teams,
mm-hmm.
we'll have prizes for each one of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Very attractive prizes. We got trips, we got dinners, we got rounds of golf at various golf courses. It's a litany of prizes.
So this is a golf game for golfers, definitely.
Yeah. Lucky you might be able to go there and hit the hole in one. Golfer may not be able to do that. You may crack a lucky shot off. It might go running along the ground, and because sometimes you play in your best shot, mm-hmm. though, you score with some ugly shot sometime. So if you don't play golf and you hit and you could connect with that ball, you might just be lucky enough to get that in the hole. So we're asking golfers, especially, and also SAC alumni, please come out. We need a full field. I think we got space for 50 teams.
Yeah.
And we'd like to fill the field and have the 50 teams participate.
Nice. And you're on your way to that. Good. Yeah, and some people can make some last-minute bookings to make sure they participate.
Yeah. Some persons, no doubt, are going to come on the morning. They'll be there an hour or so before, and they'll be registering and because they want to play. And that's just how they function. And
good.
That's how that happens at most golf tournaments.
And thank you very much, Mike Rohl, and that's Gino Nairn. They are from the SAC Alumni Association, talking about the Uncle Lou Golf Tournament, which is going to be held on June 11th, which is Saturday, and it's going to start at 8 a.m. and have 15 teams participating. And they have the grand prize if you get that hole in one, which is going to be a 2022 BMW. This is C.A. Nuri. We are at Guardian AM in the morning. The phone numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And join me on the other side of the show to talk about what is happening in the news. It's open mic today, and I'm prepared to talk about anything you want to talk about. I have some things I found interesting, and I'm going to say it.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.J., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Peace of mind. Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back. This is C.A. Nuri, and this is Open Lying Thursday. And I have so much things to talk about today. The first thing I want to talk about is, what's up with all these tornadoes? I mean, there's tornadoes just dropping down all over the place. Now, usually when I consider tornadoes, I think of Grand Bahama. So, man, Grand Bahama always having these water spouts and these tornadoes. But Nassau is getting their share now. And I'm clearly it's about this climate change. And this is why you must herald the Prime Minister for lobbying it and pushing the issue with climate change. But this is my concern. I don't know what to do when a tornado hits. What happens? Where do I go? Right now I see Bahamians getting their phone and recording it, right? And these are small size tornadoes. But what if we have a medium-sized tornado? Surely someone needs to give me information on what to do. Do I go in my closet? Do I go in my bathroom, in my bathtub? Do I go under the chair? Or do I just look out and just see what's happening and see where the tornado is going and make a run for it? Then I also see that Commissioner Roll has been appointed as the new ambassador for International Marine Organization. I want to extend congratulations to him. Anyone wish to call in and give commentary on that? I know I've seen Commissioner's Role biography, and it's impressive, and I know that he's able to fulfill the job. But I thought that he was retiring to relax with, you know, he said he has like a year of vacation, something like that. But now he has a month before his new... Boy, I only could look and smile, right? The next issue I want to talk about, and it's not really an issue, you know. It made me smile and say, look at the Commodore, right? I see the Commodore, let me change the wording. I see the Royal Bahamas Defense Force issue a statement regarding the Marine who had fluorescent green Crocs. And wait a second, someone might ask, where did she have fluorescent green Crocs in her uniform? She was at the Queen, the head of our nation's Silver Jubilee, all the way in England. She was selected amongst a couple other persons to go and represent us. You know, the best of the best. She's one of the best of the best. And something happened to her foot. You know, the shoe rubbed her foot. And of course, it got infected, for lack of a better word, and she was forced to take it off. And I don't blame the Marine, you know. If your shoe hurting, you got to take your shoes off. But I blame the commander in charge. And some people say, see, so why are you making a big deal for this? Right?
I have utmost respect for the Defense Force, but of late, I find them to be wishy-washy, and I'm concerned because I want to brag that our Defense Force officers, our Marines, are the best in the Caribbean for sure. And I don't think that they're able to handle having corn on their foot. They got to take their shoes off, right? And especially when I realizing that they are protecting the government house and their people are scaling the government house walls and doing whatever they got to do. So I'm concerned. I'm concerned exactly how they are able to defend mediocrity and then want the Bahamian people to say, okay, that's what it is, right? What else inside the news I want to talk about, and you can always text me, and you can always call me and join me with the conversation, is who will be the next commissioner of police? Mind you, rumors already say it could be Fernando. I know more likely it can be Fernando. But I want to know, what is the criteria? What is the criteria to be a commissioner of police? Now, I have the bios of the last three commissioners. All of them had degrees, specialized degrees, and went abroad to specialize. And I'm trying to find out, is having a degree important? It doesn't seem so, because they're not asking for that. And it seems as if that kisses come by favor and that it's possible. I mean, in the code of being a police force commissioner, one doesn't have to go to any extra learning to become commissioner. One can just be promoted over the time. And I smile at that because things are different with the Defense Force officer. A person who wants to be commodore needs to be a officer instead of Marines. They need to go to specialized classes. And I finally said, how come that isn't the same with our police force? Why is our police force different, right? But I also wanted to speak about, I just learned that the head, the commander-in-chief of the Defense Force is the Governor General. I did not know. I did not know that the Governor General, and this is where I think the leadership or the executive of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force has also failed, right? Because I did not know the Governor General was the chief executive officer of the Defense Force. And one would say, but how did you know that? I know that when the Governor General inspects the guards, right? He inspects the police force. You don't inspect the Defense Force. So I'm saying, what is happening here? I see that at times the Minister of National, and mind you, when I say at times, I talk about the previous one and the current one and the one before, called the police force their forces of arms. I'm trying to get the right word, right? They said these are armed forces. That's what it is. They call the police force the armed forces. They call immigration the armed forces. They call customs the armed forces. But truly, there's only one armed force in the Bahamas, and that's the Defense Force. It's a military. Armed force is a military term. And it makes me beg to wonder who is educating our people about the terms and the right procedures moving forward. So I'm concerned about that. Why would you call the immigration the armed force when they're actually peace officers, you know, and entities who got permission to carry weapons? You know, military is military and armed forces is military, and then there are peace officers. And I see I get a phone call there, and no, it's not for me. People call it. Okay, no problem. I'll move on. And right. I see I have a text here, and the text says, oh, they're asking about the sack money, right? They're saying they want to get the cash instead of the car. Well, you would have to call up to the Alumni Association of SAC and see if that's possible, or speak to the persons who are donating the car and see if they would give you cash for that. Okay. I see it said, Brother Nuri, you seem to just contradict yourself. For you said, on one hand, that all past COPs had specialized degrees that they went abroad to obtain. Then you said, no specialized degree is required to be COP, the COP.
as it can be obtained via promotion. So which is it? Well, the current... Oh, no. Let me change the wording and be careful and circumspect with my words. If the person who's going to be promoted to be the new COP, the new Commissioner of Police, he won't have a degree. He won't have a specialized degree. He took some certification courses here and there. And you know what? Let me go and just read their bios one time to see what it is, right? I'll read the three leading police officers that are Commissioner of Police. Well, we have, let me start off with this. This is Clayton Fernanda. And Clayton Fernanda, let's see, scan it. In 1984, he was transferred from the Criminal Investigation Department. He started in 1982 after completing high school. He served as a police officer, where he served 28 years, consecutive years, occupying many roles, inclusive of heading various departments. He was stolen vehicle sections, serious crimes, armed robbery, homicide investigations. He served as a commander of the CID, okay? He was put in charge of the newly formed Selective Enforcement Unit. It's called SET. In April 2016, he was officer in charge for CDU. Let's see, he took numerous courses internationally and in the United Kingdom. He studied criminal investigation and intelligence. In El Salvador, he learned management development in Florida. He attended symposium for motorcycle identification and auto thefts. He completed local courses in areas of homicide investigation, leadership and ethics, and self-development. And that's the Clayton Fernando, who is more likely up to be Commissioner of Police, Texter. And in contrast to Dr. Loretta Mackey, who's underneath him, right, and Mr. Fernanda was promoted over her recently. She has a doctorate degree, right? And let's see, she has a master's degree in organizational learning and leadership from Barry University. She was served so much during jobs. Dr. Loretta Mackey has tried to. She has completed several international training, including International Commanders Program at the National Policing and Improvement Agency, Law Enforcement Management Development Program at the International Law Enforcement Academy in El Salvador, a Diploma in Anti-Corruption Investigation and Certificates in Criminal Justice and Model Law, International, the list goes on, International Law Academy, an Academy Director's Course at the International Law Enforcement Academy, and the list goes on for her. And then there's a whole two pages for her. Then comparing the current Commissioner of Police, who, let's see, he has a master's degree in science and criminology from the University of Lancaster. He also have a maritime license officer, which made him eligible to get this promotion to be an ambassador at the Bahamas Maritime Authority in 2008, Marine Operations at the PML Marine Academy in Scotland. He's certified port security officer. He later had training at the Carnival Naval Academy in Miami in 2012, was certified as ship security. Technically, the current commissioner role is the most educated commissioner of police we ever had. In terms of his degrees and his certification, so I hope that helps you, Texter, in terms of comparing the three leaderships in the police force, and in contrast to the defense force, all of them have to go to officer schools and in order to become the commodore of the defense force. You know, they have the Marines who can go up to Marine seamen, midshipmen, officers, and then, of course, if you're blessed and you're talented, you can transfer from being a Marine into an officer. But most of them who become the Commodore definitely have to go to the Dartmouth training office in either Canada or the United Kingdom for that. So I hope that helps you regarding the training, right? So I see your point, brother Nerly. Only one of the possible candidates has a degree as well as certification, whereas the two have plenty of certification but no degree. But no, two has degrees and one does not. Everyone, all of the former commissioner of police had a degree of some sort and then certifications. So that's my point. And I want to know what makes one eligible to be commissioner of police. And I know, I've been told that one does not have to have a degree. One can go and just be promoted and eventually finish off as a commissioner of police. And I'm saying that I did not know that, and that's new for me. I see another topic I would like to talk about is trash. It's something happened. No one is picking up the trash, and I am concerned. I'm not sure if it's because of the rain. And if it is because of rain, then I excuse them, of course, right? But there is a delay, and there is an overabundance of trash. The garbage is overrimmed right now with trash, and I find that concerning. And those who are in charge, I hope that they do the due diligence and start collecting the trash as soon as possible. I see people are reaching out and calling out. I also see that, again, the director of forestries is asking the public, right, to help them police their forests. Mind you, recently they said 500 acres of forestry has been cleared, right? There are people on social media who have admitted say out loud that they bulldozed it. In fact, they cordoned it off to give people land. But to this day, no one has been arrested. Right? You have people confessing, no? You have people confessing, and you have people on video, right? But no one is being arrested as yet. And I am concerned. I wonder who does the arresting. Is it the Department of Forestry? Do they have in law enforcement attached to their unit that they go and arrest people? Or do they have to report this incident to the police? And I'm now concerned whether the police got a report. Was there a complaint from the forestry department? And why is it taking so long for someone to be arrested for clearing so much land? They keep on coming on the media saying, oh, someone is cutting down the forest, but no one's being arrested. Yet we're seeing people with the trees cut down. I'm concerned. We're seeing people with bags of coal. And I see the director also said that harvesting coal is against the law. And hopefully I'm not misquoting her, right? And I found that strange when we have two companies registered in the Bahamas that export coal. I'm not sure where they're getting the wood from. I'm not sure if they have their own forest someplace where they're cutting down the trees. But these people exporting coal and selling coal in the food stores. So clearly it must be legal, you know. So I believe perhaps she may have misspoke. And I don't want to misrepresent her in that, but I found that concerning, and that she said that Harrison Cole was not appropriate. So I see that we're going to have a break, and I'll see you on the other end.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassar Guardians Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and we have an open mic today, and you can always text me at 422-4796 or call me 323-622-325-4316-325-4259 and basically talk about any topic you want, and I'll give my opinion on it. I see I got a text for the last segment which said, Mr. Nuri, is the SAC tournament open to only SAC alumni, or is it open to the general public? It is definitely open to the general public. Anyone who is willing to win that $63,000 car. So if you are eager to win that and you believe that you could do that hole in one, or you just want to participate and to win the number of 15 prizes they have there, go ahead and register and take advantage of that. I also see in the news that the Prime Minister believes that the Bahamas should continue to accept the Queen's Honor Awards as long as the British monarch remains the head of state, according to the press secretary, Clint Watson. I want that sinking, you know, right? Let me read it again one time, right? One more time. The Prime Minister, Philip Davis, believes that Bahamas should continue to accept the Queen's Honor Awards as long as the British monarch remains the head of state, according to press secretary, Clint Watson. And mind you, I don't have a problem with that, no. But this is my concern soon. Any minute, the Prime Minister should be announced as being most honorable, the most honorable Philip Davis. And since he's a part of the legal bar, I assume that any minute, the Prime Minister is going to be named Right Honorable Philip Davis. And I'm not sure if the two, I mean, anything is possible. This is the Bahamas, right? If you can have the most honorable, the right honorable, see? You see how that sounds? Or the right honorable, the most honorable, see? It does not ring. Someone or something is going to be the superior one. And I am willing to wager, if that happens, that the foreign one will gain more weight, right? And we'll see that again, that foreign perhaps maybe is better. Is that a phone call there? I see the phone call. Go ahead, caller. Welcome to the show, and thanks very much for calling. I took too long talking. I do apologize for that. But call back. I'll be happy to entertain your call. So, one of the other things I found entertaining, right? We claim that we want to transition, because, you know, our politicians always say things to get us emotive, right? But our Privy Council, or the Privy Council, I guess it's ours, right, remains our highest court in the land. And we are making no step, no interest of having the Caribbean Court of Justice, or we have no trust in ourselves to having the Supreme Court being our final court. So when people say that perhaps in the future, perhaps we will gravitate, move away from these old vestiges of colonialism, it ain't gonna happen. So when you see the politicians saying, yes, we can do that soon, and I believe that we should, none of them have committed to it. You know, they're not making progress towards it. Say, well, we are doing these steps. So see, these are the progress we are moving toward. So I'd say they need to stop it. They need to stop it because they're getting people emotional for no reason. And they ain't going to let it happen. It's not going to happen, right? I have a next text. Let's see if I can get it up. It's not moving. Okay, I have to say, the text says, great show as usual. What's going on with the gun violence in the country? And I'm glad you sent that text. I see that the Prime Minister is now lobbying with high officials in the White House to have them create legislation to make it criminal this is how I interpret it, to make it criminal for persons who are Americans or persons living in America who buys weapons there for themselves and then smuggle it or send it to the Bahamas for sale to raise havoc inside the Bahamas, right? And I understand exactly what the, and I appreciate it, what the Prime Minister is intending to do, right? And I'm not sure if the right word is hold the U.S. accountable. But at least have a conversation that we need help, that we have challenges securing our borders in terms of stopping these guns from coming in. So since we are having challenges in our borders is porous, so I guess our Prime Minister has taken the next step of making assistance, getting assistance again for the United States. I see we have a caller there. Go ahead, caller. Thanks for calling in. Good morning to you, and thanks very much for calling in.
Yes, sir. Listen, I have I guess something to add to this gun violence business. I have a family member that works at Bahama Customs, and she made a mistake the other day in looking into a package or a luggage belonging to. I don't know if I should say it on air, but I'll take a chance and say
no,
it.
No, no, well, you can say
a diplomat item, which okay. She was supposed to, when she realized who it belonged to, she heard it close the items back. But what she saw in that item is some, and their personal items are some of our problems. You understand? And I don't know if the government is allowing us to search these persons' stuff. Because these things, if we don't make these things, there's no reason why they should be here on the level that they are. So people are bringing them in one by one. The cruise ship workers, I think, bring them in one by one. You know, persons tries to smuggle, behemoths try to smuggle them in one by one. And you know, one and one is two, and so on and so forth, and it adds up. So at what point are we going to hold ourselves responsible? I could understand what the Prime Minister is saying. But that's the long reach end. We need to get rid of what we have in country. So we need to start in country first.
And I agree with you, though. And I personally am concerned because I'm still trying to find out where is that point that is porous where these guns are being smuggled through. I definitely can't be smuggled through the airport, right? It shouldn't be able to be shipped to the Bahamas because customs supposed to check every box what comes in.
Opposed to.
So the problem is not necessarily the Americans or the persons who are smuggling. The problem is that we are not policing our borders properly, right? I could understand the cruise ships, right? Because you know it's iffy, and I even understand even the yachts, right, coming in and they have it hidden, right? But we have checks and balances for all of that. You're supposed to declare your gun when you have a yacht, and there are times when the police force commandeer it until you leave or lock it inside the safe box. So the idea that guns are coming into the Bahamas and we do not know where and how, and that we are unable to identify if this specifically is where the leak is, I'm concerned with.
Have you realized, looking at things that happens in country, the public usually knows, apparently, seemed like more than the police knows, for the most part. And the police are a part of who we are because they're our families, they're our friends and neighbors. So just like how the public knows, I think they know. So we all have a general idea as to where and how most of these guns are getting into the country, because persons who are supposed to be, like you say, policing these things are not policing these things. They're looking the other way. I guess one or two maybe, because it only takes one or two to allow them to pass in order for it to get to where it's at this point.
Definitely. And I agree with you, ma'am. And thanks very much for calling.
Welcome.
Do we have another caller there?
Hello.
Oh, go ahead, caller. Thanks very much for calling.
Hey, Nuri, how you doing?
I'm always good, man. Thanks very much for calling.
Listen, the questions with the guns, I agree with that lady who just called. The brand, to me, it's not the last, but to be asking someone else to help when you sweep your own doorstep almost as if you pass in the box. You understand me? We need to clean up this country first. You understand? They know exactly where the gun's coming from. If you got 100 or 100 and something shootings a year, which 60, 70, 80% of them resulting in somebody being shot and killed. And then you catch, you got a high catch rate of the fellas who are supposed to be doing these shootings. You mean to tell me you can't find a way to get them gun from there?
I would assume so.
Exactly. Now, I can let somebody else spawn on that, but I have a very serious problem, Nuri, and not a problem. Royal Bank. You can't call Royal Bank. You can't have the Royal Bank them closed. I try and inquire about my credit card. And for weeks and months, I've been trying to call those establishments. You can't. Automated systems pick up your phone and put you on hold for days. You can't get Royal Bank.
Really? I thought they have the foreign people picking up the phones. I find that strange.
I wouldn't mind if the foreign people pick it up.
Oh. I'm sorry to hear that.
But ain't nobody doing that with Royal Bank. What the government do with Royal Bank?
But caller, all I can say, you have choices. You have got choices. We have all kind of Bahamian banks whose hands are the phone in the first ring.
My money coming to the government, to Royal Bank.
Oh, Lord. I understand. Thank you very much, Carl.
All right.
So, a good day. Can we speak on how we can clean up our country, especially the derelict vehicles around the entire country? There is also a popular business that collects derelict vehicles, but it's such an eyesore and an environmental hazard. Thoughts on how we could collectively address the issue and possibly make money from this initiative. I hear you, Texter, and I feel for you. I know I go on that Soldier Road, and see one business there would have all kind of derelict vehicles, and next to those kids who playing hopscotch next door and walking next door, and I concern the same boy. I wonder if our government see this. You know, especially when it catch fire once or twice. And I said, man, we ain't making no headway, man. Surely we need to do something. But it's now 11:58. I definitely enjoyed the show today. I will leave you with this famous quote from our Speaker of the House. What I did not see on the ground was NEMA. And I'm saying this because I reached out to Commander Russell. And Commander Russell, I do not know if he was home watching the game, because I heard they had a game last night, but I can say he was not there. This is Speaker of the House talking about the commander of NEMA, saying he's missing in action. I found that interesting. This is Guardian Radio in the AM. My name is C.A. Nuri, and thanks for joining me whilst I talk on this open line. See you tomorrow.